Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, August the 16th. Well, parents are scrambling, going through their toy boxes this week, looking to see if they have some of the 9 million or so toys Mattel has recalled due to health scares, lead paint, and small magnets. Hugely popular toys like Batman figures and Barbie dolls, toys from the movie Cars. Earlier this month, Sesame Street figures and Thomas the Tank toys were pulled for safety reasons, too. And just yesterday in the news, lead-tainted baby bibs sold at Toys R Us may have joined the list. This toy scare follows the pet food scare, the tire recall, tainted toothpaste, contaminated seafood. The list seems to keep growing of products made in China that are being pulled for safety reasons. What's a parent to do? What's a consumer to do? How can we keep unsafe products out of our homes? Is there a fix to this problem? Is boycotting products made in China the answer? Are more inspections the answer? Is our government letting us down? How have these recalls affected you? Please join in our conversation this hour as we talk with a consumer advocate, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Rachel Weintraub, Director of Product Safety and Senior Counsel for the Consumer Federation of America. She joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you give us some perspective, the scope of this latest toy recall that's going on right now? I've seen all sorts of different numbers. This is huge, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very large recall. There's been some differences in the numbers because there's worldwide numbers and then numbers of toys recalled in the United States. So the number that I've seen for the U.S. is, I believe, at about 9 million. But I've seen numbers as high as 18 million describing the entire recall.
Yeah. Why did this happen?
Well, in terms of the lead in toys, that happened because there was a lack of testing. There were lapses in safety that didn't catch the fact that lead was being used in paint for these products. And there's been a law on the books since 1978 that clearly bans the use of leaded paint in children's products, including furniture as well as toys. So it's an unambiguous law. In terms of all of the magnet toys that were recalled, there really is a design flaw where these magnets, which cause unbelievable harm to children if they swallow more than one, I mean, these rare earth magnets are so strong they can rip through intestinal tissue and create blockages and infections, really is a design defect where these magnets are not embedded well enough in the toys themselves. So they come out and children end up having access to them.
Yeah. Now, did Mattel say that it was doing inspections at the plants in China but didn't discover these problems?
Yes, from what I heard, and I have no access to internal documents, but just from what I've been reading in the press, that they said that they've been doing internal audits over the years. And unfortunately, what we've discovered is that internal testing is not adequate. What we really need to prevent issues like this from happening in the future is testing by independent third parties who don't have a financial stake in the product.
That means it's not government testers.
Right. So what we recommend would be having a testing laboratory, somebody like UL or Intertech or Bureau Veritas. There's a number of testing laboratories who do this type of work, and a lot of them actually do have testing laboratories in China and in Asia and throughout the world. So, yes, we think that these tests have to be conducted by a third-party expert who has the experience and the skills to do these tests and who also does not have a financial interest. In terms of the government's role, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, first of all, has a budget that's been decimated over the years. It's never regained the stature that it had in terms of its budget and since the 1980s, and they've been struggling to fulfill the goals that are required of the agency. For the 2008 proposed budget actually allocates fewer employees than the agency has ever had in history at 401. So they're an agency that's struggling to do its work as there's more and more work to be done. Also, importantly, the Consumer Product Safety Commission does not have pre-market jurisdiction. They only have jurisdiction over a product once it comes onto the market.
We're talking with Rachel Weintraub, Director of Product Safety and Senior Counsel for the Consumer Federation of America. We will welcome your questions for her about the latest recall of this week, toys made in China, and the growing list of defective products that have made the news in recent months, and wondering, how can we make sure the products that we buy are safe? What needs to happen? And what are you intending to do? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, August the 16th. It's At Issue with Ben Marins this afternoon between 4 and 6. And Ben will continue his series of interviews with presidential candidates today. Senator Joe Biden will join Ben after 4 to share his ideas for the future of America. That's Joe Biden after 4 this afternoon. We're talking about how to keep consumers safe from unsafe products. Our guest, Rachel Weintraub, Director of Product Safety and Senior Counsel for the Consumer Federation of America, talking with us in, on the heels of the toy recall. Millions upon millions of toys made in China have been recalled because they contain dangerous amounts of lead or small magnets that can harm children if swallowed. Certainly isn't the first time that unsafe products have made the news, and we are trying to see how we can make it maybe the last. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. What do you think? What questions do you have? We do have Casey in Port Wing on the line. Hi, Casey. You're on the air.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good.
I'd like to make a couple comments. The whole scenario on this is corporate greed. These are American companies that had American workers. They wanted to make more money, so they eliminated the American workers, sent all these jobs to China. These aren't Chinese companies. These are American companies in China, basically slave labor there. They're getting paid a dollar a day, whatever. And now we're paying the consequences because the American companies and their corporate greed has left our country, left the workers here in America, and for themselves, send all the jobs to China, India, Pakistan, whatever, and we have no control over it. It's all corporate greed.
Is that what this is, Rachel?
Well, I do think that the reason why the toy industry and other manufacturing entities are going to China is because of lower costs, including lower labor costs. So I do believe that ultimately the almighty dollar is directing these decisions to produce products there. And it's true that with the benefit of going to China, which is lower costs, which many American retailers put a lot of pressure on manufacturers to produce products at lower costs, the manufacturers are not stepping up and taking the right steps to protect consumers from lapses in safety. So as these products are being produced in an increasingly complex global supply chain, the steps and the policies and the testing is not within the system to identify and isolate problems before they hit the market.
Yeah. So what? So is Mattel to blame for what happened?
Yeah.
Or is China to blame for what happened?
Well, I think mostly it's really Mattel. I mean, no matter where a product is made in the world by, you know, an American or global manufacturer, they need to make sure that they meet the standards of the country that they're being sent to. Mm-hmm. So if there were stronger regulations in China, that would help a bit, but we also need to have assurances that these companies have the proper steps in place to prevent lapses like this in the future. And I don't think we have those assurances yet.
I wanted to ask you about this, the baby bibs that I just saw in the news yesterday. Vinyl baby bibs sold at Toys R Us may contain lead. Apparently, tests were done by a third party, maybe what you're suggesting. The Center for Environmental Health conducted the tests on the baby bibs and, you know, reported the lead was found. And Toys R Us said, oh, hey, the tests we performed a few months ago didn't show this. Is that what you're talking about, having a different agency do the testing?
Well, yes and no. The Center for Environmental Health is a nonprofit organization. So they work to protect consumers from environmental hazards, and my organization has worked with them in the past. And this is certainly a huge problem, as children mouth bibs all the time. And you know, I have two little kids. They eat, their food gets all caught up in the bib, and then you put it back on the tray.
Mm-hmm.
So there's interaction with food, so it's incredibly alarming. But in terms of the idea for a broader solution, it wouldn't be a nonprofit consumer group who would conduct the testing,
mm-hmm.
because the Center for Environmental Health actually has another company do the testing for them.
Mm-hmm.
What we would want is a testing laboratory, somebody similar to Underwriters Laboratories, Bureau Veritas, Intertech, OnSpecs. There are different companies that do this type of work.
Mm-hmm. Lots more callers. Ryan in Viroqua. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, I think that this whole situation points out to, I guess, the need for localization as opposed to globalization. We could so easily get our toy train engines from a toy maker in Dane County, and I'm sure there's someone there who would love to sew a nice bib for someone there in Dane County. So I think if we shifted our focus away from, some large multinational corporation wanting to control all of the goods and services throughout the world and, you know, put that in our own backyard, I think the whole world would be better off.
Yeah. Is that likely to happen, Rachel Weintraub?
Well, it's interesting. There was an article in the New York Times yesterday which talked about how all of this, all of these problems from imported goods is good for the American toy manufacturing industry. But that industry is pretty small. The numbers I've heard that about 80% of the toys sold in this country are made in China, 20% are from Europe, the U.S., in South America. So I don't know that the American-made toy industry could support the whole market. But the only caveat, which certainly isn't solved by having large multinational corporations supply products, is just to make sure that, because small companies as well as large are aware of what the standards are.
Yeah. Well, consumers are getting fed up. They've got to be. This is going to spur some sort of action, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. I think for sure. I think there's been more focus on this agency and on product safety and some of the inherent weaknesses of this agency than there's been in years and years and years. So I also think that members of Congress are paying close attention to these issues, and I think there are going to be meaningful reforms coming out of Congress this year.
Yeah. Anybody have a bill already out there that you're advocating for?
Yes. So mm-hmm. there are a number of bills that have been introduced, and some bills in the House have moved a little bit. But there's one bill that Senators Durbin and Nelson from Florida have introduced that would require independent third-party testing for children's products.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a bill that passed the House subcommittee, so it still has to pass full committee, then the full House, and then the Senate, but that would increase the civil penalties that the Consumer Product Safety Commission could assess. Right now, in terms of enforcement, the commission can assess civil and criminal penalties, but the civil penalties are capped at $1.83 million, which is clearly almost laughable in terms of some of the revenue numbers that these large companies bring in.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to do is make the stick have a meaningful hit.
Mm-hmm. Bob in Oshkosh is with us now. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Morning.
what I think we also need to do is focus on the American consumer. There's an old phrase, put your money where your mouth is. Until the American consumer is willing to pay the price for American-made products and pay the price for the quality and inspected products, those products won't be viable in the marketplace. We've caused this ourselves. We run from one store to the other over a dollar or two on a $40 product, and now we've driven the prices so low that a company in the United States paying American wages and American benefits can no longer be competitive. If we really want safe products, products made in America, we have to be willing to pay the price that they'll cost and understand we can't have an instant gratification disposable society anymore.
Yeah. A comment, Rachel?
I think that is a good point, but I also think that consumers don't fully understand when they're looking to save a few dollars, they're not taking into the calculus, oh, well, if I save a few dollars, I'm willing to take on the risk that a product may be less safe. There certainly is not that level of awareness, as, you know, consumers aren't fully involved in the manufacturing process. So I think the only point is that, you know, the fact that consumers are looking to save money does not translate into we're willing to have mm-hmm. the risk of safer products in our market. And unfortunately, that's what has translated and been translated in reality.
Yeah. Well, and as someone who doesn't go out and buy toys very often, I don't have children, and I've done interviews with people, it's hard to find toys that are not made in China. As you just mentioned, that the market for, you know, American-made toys is very small. But I picked up, of all things, a Sesame Street character several weeks ago in anticipation of the birthday of a friend's child. And it's going back to the store, whether it's on the recall list or not, because a lot of people are in my shoes, don't you think?
I think so. Mm-hmm. What we recommend for consumers is, you know, it's really hard just to focus on the Made in China label and then sort of use that as a broad high watermark. I don't think that's what consumers should do. I think right now what consumers should do is look to make sure whether they have products that have been recalled in their home. And if so, they should. And to find that out, you can go to www.cpsc.gov. That is the Consumer Product Safety Commission's website, which lists all the recalls actually that they've conducted throughout history, but the most recent ones are on their front pages. And that will tell you who to contact to figure out what steps should be taken to comply with the recall. And then if you do have one of these recall toys in your home, take it away from your children immediately. And again, follow those steps. If a toy that was recalled was recalled because of lead contamination, what we recommend is that the consumer wipe down toys that have been in contact with that toy with a damp cloth to pick up any lead dust. And if you think that your child has been mouthing this toy or playing with it a lot and potentially putting their hands in their mouth a lot, they should speak to their doctors about obtaining a lead test.
We'll talk more about this after we check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, talking with Rachel Weintraub, Director of Product Safety and Senior Counsel for the Consumer Federation of America. This is the Ideas Network. Good morning. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine at 6:36 on this Thursday, August the 16th. We're talking about the massive toy recall by Mattel this week. Batman, Barbie dolls, Polly Pockets, some of the 9 million toys recalled by Mattel. Toys made in China, which contain small magnets that could be swallowed by children. Or lead paint, the second toy recall in just a couple of weeks due to safety concerns. Earlier this month, a million Fisher-Price toys, including popular Sesame Street characters, were pulled off store shelves. Yesterday, some vinyl baby bibs sold at Toys R Us were reported to also be contaminated with lead. We're talking about what's a consumer to do? And how can we keep unsafe products out of our homes? What is the fix to this problem? Our guest says that we need third-party independent testing of imported products. We wonder what you think, what questions you have. How is this latest recall affecting you? And are you getting fed up with more and more recalls of unsafe products? This one is just the latest. You've recalled the tainted pet food, the toothpaste, the seafood products, the tires, all products in the headlines in recent weeks. Rachel Weintraub, our guest, Director of Product Safety and Senior Counsel for the Consumer Federation of America. And the number to call with a question or comment is 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Before news time, Rachel Weintraub, you were telling us just some general advice, especially for parents in light of this toy recall. I had to kind of cut you short. What is it that that especially with the toys parents need to keep in mind or do?
Sure. Well, first of all, you need to check to see whether any toys that you have been subject to the recalls. There's a couple of ways to check that. One of them is to go to the Consumer Product Safety Commission's website, which is www.cpsc.gov. A consumer can go there, figure out whether a toy they have has been recalled. And then if a toy that you have has been subject to a recall, first step is to take it away from your child immediately. I know that's hard, and I know parents feel terrible about taking away toys that your children love, but it really is in their best interest to do that. So take the toy away, and then what we recommend, which is also hard for busy parents, is not just to throw the toy out. What we recommend is that you follow the directions of the manufacturer, whether it's sending the product in, bringing it to a retailer. It's very useful for the manufacturer to be able to keep track of the actions of consumers, and it really helps with figuring out whether consumers are finding out about this recall and complying it. Then if a toy has been recalled because of lead, then we recommend that parents or caregivers wipe down toys with a damp cloth that have been in contact with that toy. That could pick up any stray lead dust that was emitted from the product. And if a parent is concerned that their child has had a lot of contact with a toy that was recalled for lead, played with it a lot, put it in their mouth potentially, we suggest that you speak to your doctor about whether a lead test is in order. Some states require lead tests at certain ages. I'm not sure about what Wisconsin requires. And then if a toy has been recalled because of these magnets, what we recommend is that you very carefully vacuum all of the areas where a child may have played with these things, if obviously they were on carpet, because sometimes these magnets can fall out and you don't even notice them. So try to get any loose magnets as quickly as you can. Mm-hmm. Now, broadly, as a consumer is looking to the next birthday or to the holiday season, what we recommend as a guiding principle is that a consumer think about how their child actually plays with toys. For example, if a child or if one of the children in the household put toys in their mouth frequently, they need to be very careful about small parts. And we recommend that consumers use the inside of a toilet paper tube to test whether a toy or part of a toy is in fact a small part.
Mm-hmm. What about, do you have any advice when it comes to imported toys? There's going to be a while, even if this latest recall does spur some action and some changes and possibly this third-party independent testing that you're advocating or more resources for the Consumer Product Safety Commission, that's not going to happen overnight. Should we avoid products made in China?
I don't think so. There's virtually almost all of our products are made in China, so I don't think that is a wise way to go, because really you would be really avoiding contact with almost every toy that's in a children's toy box. So I think that sort of overshoots the problem, also undershoots the problem, because there certainly have been a few incidences where toys manufactured in the U.S. or in Europe have had problems as well. So I think you can't just look at where the product is made. And really, I mean, such a high percentage of our products of children's products, of toys, are made in China, that, you know, I think it's logical that there would be more recalls of products from China. Mm. So I don't think that's a good guiding principle.
Next, we go to Larry in Madison. Hi, Larry. You're on the air.
Thank you. I have a comment and a question. The guest has advocated private labs to test for safety. However, the government's Consumer Product Safety Commission, in my opinion, should be strengthened in both budget and jurisdiction. Government workers have a long and honorable history of dedication to their programs, once a government function is privatized, the public loses control, certainly loses day-to-day control, and also doesn't have much access to information about what's going on with that function, including information about conflicts of interest that can arise with privatization. It seems peculiar to me that the guest has not mentioned strengthening the commission, and I'm wondering from where the Consumer Federation of America gets its funding.
Well, you do want the consumer products.
We do. Yeah, and let me... So first of all, I certainly agree with you that we that the Consumer Product Safety Commission needs to be funded. Just to answer the question, which I think is an aside, about where CFA gets our money, we get it mostly from private foundations. And, you know, it's publicly available. You can look up our 990. The problem is that the Consumer Product Safety Commission does not have pre-market jurisdiction. So they currently do not have that function in terms of jurisdiction. And if we... I mean, we are, and we've been working for years and years to strengthen the commission. But in order to strengthen the commission enough to be able to test these products, they would need such an infusion of resources and cash. Just for an example, there's now 401 employees at the Consumer Product Safety Commission. 15 employees, as part of their jobs, not their full-time jobs, work at the ports of this country trying to prevent unsafe toys from entering American markets. It would just be such a huge, huge task for this agency that I just don't think that they could do it properly. We agree certainly that that government officials, for the most part, the vast majority of them, are incredibly honorable, incredibly hardworking, and, you know, even though we've disagreed with a lot of policies that the Consumer Product Safety Commission has put forth, we always have lauded CPSC staff for really working incredibly hard and diligently and effectively. But in terms of the commission taking on this task to conduct these third-party testing, it would be such a larger task than they currently have that I'm not sure that they could do it effectively. And in addition, we've been working to try to strengthen the CPSC's regulatory powers for years and years. So, and we continue to do that.
Yeah. Who, if there is a third-party testing going on, what is this? This funded through the manufacturers?
Yes. It would, you know, obviously the manufacturer's responsibility is to make sure that these products don't pose risk to consumers. So they need to conduct the tests to make sure that the products are safe.
Yeah, but there's would there be any sort of government oversight of this third-party testing?
You know, I think the bill that's introduced, I don't think, contemplates that, but that certainly is a possibility.
Our guest is Rachel Weintraub, Director of Product Safety and Senior Counsel for the Consumer Federation of America, talking with us about the latest consumer scare. The latest in a long list of consumer scares, the Mattel toy recall, trying to figure out how we can make this one of the last consumer scares. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, August the 16th. Coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll talk with a guest about how the fears of food contamination and a growing global marketplace are playing an important role in the revival of irradiation in this country and the debate over irradiating our food. We'll wonder what you think about that coming up after 7 o'clock. We're talking about another consumer issue. For the rest of this hour, keeping consumers safe from unsafe products. Rachel Weintraub, Director of Product Safety and Senior Counsel for the Consumer Federation of America, telling us her take on the latest Mattel toy recall. 9 million toys recalled in this country alone. Rachel Weintraub, does the Consumer Federation of America have a stand on irradiating food?
I think we do, actually, but I am not our food expert,
okay.
So I would need to refer you to them because
okay.
I do not want to misspeak about that.
That's
issue.
Fine. I was just going to transition into my next topic.
Yeah.
But Bob and Nina, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning to your guest. Big question, I think. What happens to all these food items and toys, et cetera, that are recalled? Where do they go? What happens to them? I mean, do they get shifted to another country? Do they get shifted to garbage dumps or what? What happens to all these items?
Do you know?
Well, that's a really good question. Something that our organization has been supporting for years has been to prevent the sale of recalled products to another country because we don't want these products to get dumped someplace else. Right now, my understanding is that a company can actually resell these toys, not in the U.S., but someplace else. And I believe that they can do this if they get sign-off from the Consumer Product Safety Commission.
All right. Thank you very much, Bob, for bringing that up. Bill in Lancaster, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. A couple weeks ago, I was out in L.A. I'm a peer trainer with the HAZMAT program, and we were out there learning about Port Authority. And we were out by Terminal Island where all these container ships come in from overseas. And we were told in a one-year period of time, they will unload and load between 15 to 16 million containers a year. So that unless they can come up with a way, there's just no feasible idea of how they can go through each and single one of these containers and find out what's in them.
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's certainly right, and that's why we want safety to be infused in the manufacturing process as early as possible, because once the product is at the ports, it's incredibly hard to detect the safety of these products. So what we want to do is, as early as possible, put systems in place to isolate potential contaminants, potential toxic chemicals, and put systems in place to basically provide assurances to the public and to government agencies that these products meet the standards from as early as possible.
Yeah. What sorts of penalties would Mattel face for what happened?
So the Consumer Product Safety Commission can levy civil penalties for violations of CPSC regulations. Clearly, having lead in the paint in toys is a violation. And while the magnet toys right now there's a voluntary standard that's very, very recent, but there's not a mandatory standard. If Mattel did not tell the Consumer Product Safety Commission of known incidents of these magnets coming loose or of any harms occurring from that, any injuries or deaths, then they could be fined because there's a requirement that it's Section 15B of the Consumer Product Safety Act that requires manufacturers and others to report known incidents of their products to the commission. So they could be subject to penalties if, in fact, they didn't report in a timely manner and for the lead. The problem is, and of course, if there was knowing violations, there could be criminal penalties, but those are very rarely assessed. One of the problems is, and one of the reforms that we've been pushing for years to strengthen the agency, is that the amount of civil penalties is capped at $1.83 million. So normally it's interpreted, so for each toy, for example, each type of toy, there's a cap on 1.83 million. And for years we've been concerned that just less than $2 million is not enough of a deterrent. And we need to increase, either eliminate the cap or substantially increase the amount of civil penalties that the commission can assess.
Yeah, so if a child dies from swallowing one of these magnets, the parent could recover a maximum of $1.8 million.
No. So the civil penalty is not for a consumer.
Okay.
It is levied against the manufacturer or the corporate entity responsible. So it doesn't have anything to do with personal damages.
I see. Okay. Dawn in Onalaska, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I think what might be a fix for the recalls is if the toys that are sold have their own warranty information, like a registration card with the product number, model, all that, prepaid postcard. All we do is put our return address on there, and then because we did purchase it from them in good faith, so the onus should be back on them to look through these cards and figure out, you know, I've got 200 folks that bought this, and then they should be contacting us, because as parents, it's just too hard for us to manage, you know, three toy boxes for kids is ranging from 3 years to 14 in boys and girls.
Well, I must say that is a brilliant idea and one that we have been advocating for years, actually, and it's great to hear it coming from a consumer. Unfortunately, the Consumer Product Safety Commission rejected a petition that Consumer Federation of America filed a number of years ago to do exactly what you suggested, to have a product registration card used solely for purposes of a recall. The good news is, however, that while the CPSC has failed to act on this, there's legislation in Congress actually introduced by Representative Schakowsky of Illinois, which would require basically that for durable children's products, which are defined in the legislation, that would include toys, it would require either a product registration card to be included or some electronic means so that the manufacturer could directly notify consumers in case of a recall. And we've been arguing for years and years and years that the way consumers find out about recall depends on them happening to see the media reports. You know, I've talked about it as a smoke signal that depending on where you're looking, you may not see it. So, and also some people are very clued in and some people aren't. And what we want to do is make it much more direct so that the manufacturer directly notify consumers who purchase or own the products.
Good idea, Dawn. Glendale in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello.
Is it Glenn?
Glendale.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if it's much of a question as it is. It's a question and an observation. My observation is that with this global economy and everything that's been going on in the United States, this big push towards the United States joining the world economy, Ms. Weintraub mentioned how the Consumer Protection Agency has been weakened by manpower shortages, budget shortages, and whatnot. How much of this is politicization of political appointees that head up that agency, do you think? And how much of this is actually a problem that the United States government is well aware of, but because of the high pressure brought by corporations to lower the standards, so to speak, in favor of profit over safety, do you think this is?
Well, I think that this definitely is political, and I think both of your points point to the politicalization of this issue. The budget is controlled by the administration, so in terms of the priority that the administration places on product safety, that's what translates. And yes, under the agency really began to be decimated under President Reagan in 1980 and 81, and then the agency has never fully recovered. And it tends to be that more conservative administrations would rather the free market regulate as opposed to regulations be promulgated.
Yeah. Well, besides, we're out of time now, but besides bringing or following the recall and going to the website and doing that kind of thing, if you have toys in a toy box, what can a consumer do to make a difference on this issue?
Well, I think in terms of protecting your children, I mean, you need to just be really careful about thinking about the way your children play with toys. And with lead, it's virtually impossible to identify. There are lead kits, but they don't always work, and we don't recommend that consumers have to do chemistry experiments on their toys. Hopefully those experiments will occur before the product comes onto the market. But you really need to think about how your children play with toys. Be vigilant and be wary, but it's certainly not a time to panic, but a time to be careful.
Thank you very much for being with us.
You're very welcome. Have a great day.
You too. Rachel Weintraub, Director of Product Safety, Senior Counsel for the Consumer Federation of America. Thanks to Leo Duran for producing this hour. Thanks to Karen Prager for on-air production. And thank you for listening and all of your phone calls. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.